It's episode 1099, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What up, though?
In Los Angeles, California, I gotta figure out your intro, man. In Los Angeles, California, from Social Club Misfits.
Yeah, I know.
Marty.
Derek has such a good one.
I'll figure it out, man. It's just, they happen. What do you want?
You know what? I don't know. Like, but Derek has, like, all the good ones taken, because that's who he is. I'm not there. I just don't.
Yeah, and right now in Dallas, Texas, our managing editor downtown, Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
Emily, why are you in Dallas today?
Before you ask why she in Dallas, we need to ask, why is your grandmother's quilt behind your head with cats? It's a cat on there. It's a couple cats.
There's a bunch of cats.
Different color, like yellow.
And then I feel like there's like some African print back there. So is your grandmother from Nigeria?
So my mother actually made these, not my grandma.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm at my parents' house in Dallas. I'm sitting in my mom's quilting room / guest room, because that's what the vibe is.
Oh, that's so cute.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom is a quilter.
Her prayer room.
It's kind of a hodgepodge. Her like girl cave.
My mom has that. That's why I know. Like, my mom has like prayer books.
So yeah, I'm literally staring at her like sewing machine and a lot of fabric and stuff. So it's fun.
Quilt too, don't you? Don't you join her with the quilting?
When I was younger, I did. She taught me how to. Whoa. She taught me and my brother how to sew when we were like 4 years old.
All right, tell them why you're in Dallas.
I'm seeing the Jonas Brothers.
She literally traveled to Dallas to see the Jonas Brothers in concert. So,
and what? To see my parents.
Mm-hmm. What?
That's amazing!
Wow.
See your parents. What? Yeah,
well, hey, those noble reasons to go to Dallas. Now, Emily, I think it's cool your mom's into quilting, but
you can make fun of her. It's okay.
The quilt itself triggered something that, you know, I want to ask around the table here. Yeah. That it reminded me of things I would see in like a Christian grandparent home. And I know we've mentioned this before, but I want to have a little checklist right now of things that if a home has that quilt in it, most likely some of these other items. I want you guys to go through and let me know if grandparents' homes. Okay, real quick. Precious Moments figurines.
100%.
A wicker basket in the bathroom filled with old Christian books like the Prayer of Jabez.
Yeah, for sure.
Or Charisma magazines from 1989.
Signs with folksy sayings about cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like kind of witty little, okay. What appears to be a shrine to a grandchild with noting all their achievements that almost looks like they may have passed away in a car accident a few years ago, but they're alive and well. For some reason, they're just enshrined in the home. At least one piece of furniture with a cover over it. At least one.
Yeah. No question.
A dinner tray. Dinner trays in the house.
Multiple. Yeah.
100%. Numerous photos. In fact, most of the decor in the home is documenting family vacations that took place more than 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
You guys went on the cruise in 94. Yeah, cruise in 94. We got.
Yeah, you guys. The stats show you guys went to Mexico, and Emily, you got your hair braided. So let's just be honest right now while we can.
I did not, but I came back to Mexico.
I mean, came out of like a problematic Weeby Jamin shirt or something. Yeah.
Thomas Kincaid painting. You got to have the Painter of Light somewhere in the house. They got it at a Christian bookstore. Footprints. Probably.
Yeah, footprints in the
somewhere.
Sand. Yeah. I do want to go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You were talking about the
footprints in the sand.
You were talking about the. Like the pictures that almost look like a shrine. I did go around last night and count how many pictures there are of me and my brother and how many pictures there are of my brother's kids. Significantly more pictures of my brother's kids. Like there are.
Of course.
And the oldest one is only five. Oh, yeah. So we've only had 5 years to get pictures versus 20 something years to get pictures of me and my brother. Squat.
Derek, are black grandparents' homes the same as Jesse's white grandparent home? Like, does that ring true, the aesthetics he was just talking about? Like, what else would there be?
Well, you definitely gonna have the black Jesus with his shirt off. picture.
Yes, for sure. Right. A classic.
Right. Well, Jesse has that in his home as well. So
those are rad pictures.
Definitely going to be a china cabinet somewhere around there. I don't know if...
Like a hutch. Yeah,
china cabinet. The, And back when I was growing up, it's probably not like this anymore. I hope not. But there's going to be furniture, not with one cover on it, but all covered with plastic. So we're gonna have that.
See, growing up in Florida, I never got that because you'd stick to it, you know. So like
oh, you stick to it in Michigan. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you stick to it or not. You're gonna stick to it. Like you're gonna peel yourself, peel yourself off of that mud. You know what I'm saying?
It'll make you feel really good about yourself for sure.
Yeah, there's gonna be photo albums for sure. If it's a Christian home, I definitely think there's some overlap with like the precious memories stuff. You know what I mean?
Wait, a Crosswell? We didn't say a Crosswell.
There's gonna be something with TD Jakes somewhere around there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a Woman Thou Art Loose on DVD somewhere for sure. Definitely, you definitely gonna have a TD Jakes something somewhere.
But let me ask this, Derek: is it mixed in with the other DVDs? Like, is it just like, oh, you know, we could do, you know, watch some
Madea?
Oh yeah, because her grandson lives, so you're gonna have like Fast and the Furious DVDs and all that. Then you just got the random, you know what I mean? You got a gangster movie like Menace to Society, and then next to it, you got TD Jakes. You know what I mean?
It's just in the shuffle on the rack. I like it.
Feel really weird now saying Sarah Jakes Roberts is coming up because we just were talking about TD Jakes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We love her.
Yeah, you know, hey, look,
we were making fun.
No,
I'm saying
good.
That's a testament to the TD Jakes. Like literally.
Yeah,
TD Jakes,
the power reach.
You can say that all the black
future grandmothers will have Sarah Jakes Roberts.
You know what I'm saying,
dude? I feel well. Yeah. To be fair, I think he was even transcendent. Like I felt like I have a pretty good awareness of TD Jakes. Like,
he's on my Mount Rushmore. I mean, he's one of my favorite heroes. I grew up. Yeah. Listen to him. I mean,
absolutely. That's no shade there.
All right. Well, this is a good segue. because
no one preaches like
he's handing the baton to our guest today. Sarah Jakes Roberts is joining us. This is and if you're tuning in for that, we weren't talking about TD Jakes because she's our guest today. It just happened to happen that way. Anyway, she's coming up later. Don't miss that. At the end of the game, we have Epic Battle. It's a college football mascot edition. You don't want to miss that either. But stay tuned. Right now, up next, it's Slices. You're listening to Blondes. The song is Beautiful World. Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant. Okay, it's time for
Slices.
What do you have, Jesse?
All right. I was very pleased at this news. Well, I wouldn't say I was pleased at it, but I'm glad this study has come out because it is about the phenomena of and the prevalence of paper straws.
Man.
Which, you know,
I'm a straw guy. I'm using a plastic straw right now. I don't do the paper.
I wouldn't call myself an environmentalist, but I do think it's good to be conscious of the environment. I think we need to be good stewards and we need to care for wildlife. And I remember that video a couple years ago that came out, and at the time, I think it was mainly on Facebook, of this poor turtle that got a straw stuck up its nose. And there's a guy that got him on the boat. It was a sea turtle. And they brought him on the boat, and it took pliers to get that straw out of its nose. Do you guys remember that video?
Yeah,
it
was traumatizing.
I remember.
It's very unsettling.
I've never seen that.
Maybe they don't have hands. They have flippers, and he got it in his nose somehow. I don't know how it ended up there.
Poor guy. That's terrible.
And everyone's like, dude, we got to do something about this. We can't have turtles with straws. they're the size of the straws we use at Starbucks are the same proportions as a sea turtle's nostril. This is a problem because they're in and up in the ocean. And if it can happen to this sea turtle, how many sea turtles are out there?
So true.
With straws up at least one nostril. This has to be resolved. We cannot keep going like this. And so I feel like after that video, everyone got very concerned about this and paper straws that are showing up everywhere. And and I think it was meant to be like a good thing. But anyone who's used a paper straw, it gets this. I don't even know why they started with paper. Paper, if paper gets wet, you see it dissolve. How did they think this? How do you think I'm going to suck liquid through my wet lips? And they could have done anything, but they started us with paper, and it turned. And it's been, you know, I'm a straw guy. If I'm drinking like an iced coffee or like something from, you know, McDonald's or whatever, I gotta have a straw. And paper just doesn't hold up. Well, a new study has found that these paper straws may actually be just as bad, if not worse. Either way, we got to move on from them because they tested 39 non-plastic straw brands, and a 90% returned with traces of what they call PFAS. These are poly and plyfluoroalkyl substances. Either way, they're known as
nailed it.
Close enough. Yeah, who cares, right? Sorry, chemists, correct me. They're called forever chemicals, and they have substances in them that don't deteriorate, and they're really bad for your organs.
Oh my goodness! So they're not just bad for the environment; they're bad for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Because it's not the paper, but it's what holds it all together.
Right? They made it worse. Yeah. They made the whole situation worse. Basically,
I mean, they even found this in bamboo straws. They said the only ones that are, you know, effective are the stainless steel ones, which I don't have any problem with stainless steel ones. The only thing is if you're drinking like a juice-based thing, it's going to taste like a battery coming out there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't want a stainless steel smoothie.
Or if you fall while you're drinking your drink, you could kill yourself.
You're going to feel like you're going to end up like that sea turtle. And see how we like it.
The way that you described the problem
of
forever plastics, you know, like these straws get out into the ocean, all this, whatever. It's this one sea turtle with this one straw stuck in its nose.
I'm telling you, that's when this took off, is when that video went viral. All of a sudden, everyone's like,
save the turtles.
I'm going to do a little offline research here. I don't have time to do it right now. Yeah. We got a show to do. Yeah. But I'm going to look at the correlation of when that video of that poor turtle went viral and when paper straws are just showing up.
Create a momentum. In those offices, they said, look at this video. Do you guys want this happening to your kids?
That's what I remember.
Like they used this as a reference to push that bill.
It was unsettling. I mean, it was way up there. I don't know if you guys remember. I mean, he had to get pliers.
Yeah, he was fine afterwards. He put it back in his nose. He honestly liked it. He like literally headbutted.
And honestly, he was probably never breathing more clearly. Like it's after using FloNase.
It was like a snorkel. It's like a snorkel.
Yeah. It was snorkel. Yeah, exactly, Kim.
Maybe he did it on purpose.
I remember in the 80s. In the 80s, my first experience with a paper straw was at SeaWorld because they made the case that plastic straws were destroying the animals in the ocean. And so SeaWorld was setting the example in the 80s, plastic straws. And I remember going on field trips as a fourth grader, hating the straws at SeaWorld. Like you have your soda for lunch and you have this like melty straw that was like all gross by the end. Mm. So I'm not a fan of paper
SeaWorld
straws
did
either.
It. Okay.
SeaWorld did it.
SeaWorld, the people that can, you know, trapped all these animals. Like, you know, we got to worry about these things. They really hurt people. They hurt the animals, these straws. But also, we are going to put them in a 1 mile radius cage. And we're going to have a video called Blackfish in a couple of years that's going to destroy SeaWorld. Yeah. But sure, you know. Paper
Why not
straws.
Rubber
we like drinking through an envelope. Yeah. That's what it tastes like. I feel like I'm drinking through an envelope, a letter.
just pouring the drink little kid and you go like the,
you used to drink through.
You know,
envelope?
You're a little kid and you go to like the milk. That's what it tastes like. It's like you're drinking through
like
an envelope.
Oh, like a milk carton.
Just drinking these paper straws. Yeah, that's what it tastes like. I'm drinking. It's difficult and it's like as soon as you bend it the wrong way, the whole thing is destroyed. Paper straws are a menace.
Yeah, I agree. So back to plastic straws. I'm all about it. I have them in my home.
I'm not saying we have to go back to plastic. Like I said, I think we can just find a better solution because
there's agave. I mean,
what about cotton straws?
Spots have agave straws.
Cotton straws.
It's like sugar straws.
Rubber?
They dissolve.
What about rubber? But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying there's
that's a condom. That's not a straw. Was that? Everyone just got silent on me like I was the guy from. Everyone got silent on me like I was the, you know, like I was the villain from Riot with Carmen. I'm T-Bone. Jeez Louise. Everyone got silent on me.
I'm just saying.
Like I was Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer. Everyone just got weird on me. What happened here, guys?
Well, I think you were advocating for replacing straws with condoms, weren't you? Like, and that was.
No, well, you said a rubber thing, it's just, it's not. How about that's this? What that is. It's latex, you know? It's Seinfeld. It's common knowledge, guys.
Here's the irony of the plastic straw. Here's the irony. It's like, when you go to Star. We've got to move on. I understand, but here, can I just tell you that the blows my mind, the irony of this. When I go to Starbucks and if I want like an iced coffee, right, and it comes out and they give me a paper straw with it, I'm like, it's great. I will put this tiny paper straw in this gigantic plastic cup. Like you're all, the entire thing I'm drinking out of is made out of plastic, but thankfully the little tiny piece we're putting in this huge piece of plastic is made of paper. I'm just saying, that seems like
the
priorities.
Can't go up a turtle's nose.
Yeah, I guess.
Think about it.
But I mean, still, it could be broken up and fall. You know, it could be destroyed. And
I don't know the size of a whale's nostril. I don't know the size of a whale's nostril.
Abolish paper straws. We're just going to abolish paper straws.
Yep. There you go. All right. What do you have, Derek?
66% believe that college degrees are often not worth the investment. Gen Zers.
Oh.
So 66% of Gen Z believe that a college degree is not worth the money that you spend on it. Now, this is interesting considering that millennials are the most quote unquote educated generation in America, with approximately 38% of us having a bachelor's degree or higher. And I just want to say, good for you, Gen Z, because I can't think of many freaking millennials that are like, you know what? College was a great idea. Like this burden of student loan debt that we're carrying on our back for the rest of our lives was a great idea. So good for you, Gen Z, for watching our mistakes and improving upon that. Like just learn as much as about AI as you can and you'll be fine.
I really think that is what happened. Like, I think Gen Z has watched millennials lament the thousands or millions of trillions of dollars of debt that we're in, and they're like, well, I don't want that. And I think there are so many other ways to get like an education that you need for certain skills, or internships. Like, there are people sort of willing to take a chance on you, especially if you explain like, hey, I didn't go to college because I didn't want to be in debt. I think a lot of people actually do respect that, and they're willing help you out and say, you know what, yeah, I can train you, I can help teach you these certain things. Now again, there are always going to be things that you do have to have a degree to afford.
Doctors
and, dentists. Yeah. Jesse, I see your eyebrows. No, you have to have a degree if you're going to be a doctor.
I don't need Uncle Sam telling me who I can and can't have him working on my teeth.
No, dog. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, if you ain't went to school, do not open no surgery, dental surgery on me at all. I want you to go to school for 8 years, all eight.
Minimum.
And I want you to do
if they
your job.
If they disclose they're unlicensed, dental practice, I feel like I'm should be allowed to go. It just have to disclose it.
Man.
It's teeth. I think we overcomplicate it. I think you go in a modern dentist's office, it's like you're walking into NASA. It looks like they're about to put people on Mars. They got so much technology.
And it should.
A lot of great stuff.
They're overthinking it.
They're not.
Are you trying to go back to 1880?
Right, thinking about it.
Do you guys think that people are? Do you think that people are dumber though? Like now, do you think that we have like now our generation is a little bit less educated than the previous generation?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I just think about this. In Orlando, like the plague came back. Like there's certain like plagues and stuff that are coming back in Orlando and Florida.
What?
And I'm like, there has to be some connection.
What are you talking about, Orlando?
You know, like,
plagues are coming back.
We heard it was in South Florida. We heard it was in your area.
It probably is. It might be. It's something in the water. But I think that there's something to say about how we're going back with a lot of all the advances.
Martin.
People are getting like, people think like, you know, it's like autism and like getting like a vaccine. Like we're starting to like do like
Marty, uneducated. No one's educated to me here. What plagues are coming back? Because I had no clue that.
Oh, I'll pull it up right now. Goodness.
I'll pull it up right now.
I just Googled, is the plague in Orlando? And what came up is the CDC saying that leprosy cases have surged in Central Florida recently.
Because people aren't washing their bodies.
Chill out, bro.
I'm telling you, there's like weird diseases coming. Derek, there's weird diseases coming back to places like Orlando. Shout out to all my cousins. They're right now
going to call me and beat me up. Orlando accounts for 20% of the leprosy cases in the world.
Okay, now we're talking. Now I'm starting to get some momentum with my argument, okay? Crazy. There's other diseases, too, that are coming out that were gone. And I think it has the cases is that I think there's a lack of education, maybe, and understanding, like, basic... You know, basic things that we all should know. There's certain
things funny. That we all the other thing, common the other thing that's come up is the plague in Orlando. The other things that came up was TripAdvisor reviews. Avoid this hotel like the plague. That is a whole bunch of TripAdvisor reviews.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's something there. There's something there. I'm telling you.
I don't know if it's.
Orlando's the melting pot. It tells me the fingerprint of the country.
Leprosy, dude.
Yeah, leprosy. Not even Israel. They didn't get it in Jerusalem. Check this out, Derek. They didn't get it in Jerusalem. They didn't get it when you guys went on that cruise to Israel and had hummus with everybody. They got it in Orlando, where it's a melting pot of the country. It is. It's everybody's in Orlando. We're all going to Disney. We're all going to Universal and SeaWorld if it's still there.
Not
but
me.
That is a. It says a lot.
I do think for the college thing, like if you're Gen Z and you haven't gone and you're trying to decide, dude, you can learn a trade and you don't have to go to college. I had some cameras over my house. I've had some serious plumbing issues. Derek, I know you had some water issues in your home recently. I had a plumber. I've had plumbers come out. Plumbers are killing it, man. It's like, how much is it? $200 to come out, and then it's $100 an hour after that. I'm like, I'm $300 in before they even start turning a wrench. Like, I'm telling you, like there are legit professions out there that don't require a college degree that
you can make just as much amount of money. OnlyFans. You got...
Oh, my gosh.
You got...
Well, okay. I'm not talking about OnlyFans, but I do think that there are a lot of Gen Z that go other platforms and think, like, well, I can just be an influencer and make more money than I ever will getting a degree. And it's hard to argue with them these days sometimes because if you can do it...
They're richer than us.
Exactly. Like, go for it.
Like I said, even the tradespeople, like, there's stuff that, you know, the people, when you some brace in your house, it's like, man, these people got it. They got this whole thing figured out. You know what I mean? There's always a demand for their work. It's relatively laid back, you know, like it's a skill. It's not like,
right.
You know, I honestly think there is a... Like, I hope the pendulum swings a little bit where it's not just you have to have a degree to get a quote-unquote good job. Because there's plenty of good jobs out there that are doing needed things, that you're serving your community, you can make a good living. You know, that is a tangible skill in a profession that's never going to go away that I think more people should consider, you know?
You like, also
the girl who was on the podcast before me, she went to ITT Tech, and now she's getting her dental... You know what I'm saying? Like, the girl that I'm replacing, she's getting dental assistant.
But no, we cracked a joke about her going to HVAC school or whatever, but I tell you who's making
money.
You'll
make money. Some... I'm telling you, Derek, making, I know.
If you are in for HVAC real, you're right, right now,
I'm
you
for
are
real.
Getting paid, buddy.
For real.
Anywhere in the U.S., you're getting paid.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Hey, look.
I know plumbers who make, like, more than me, and I'm like, what am I doing? What did I do wrong? Like, just, you know, like, they're making $150 easy clearing it. Clearing 150 easy. Working for themselves too. Because now you could work for yourself. Now you could work for, put your stuff out there, and you don't have to work for a big company. Back in the day, you had to work for some company. Now you can do everything yourself.
And the smart people that are on that are doing trades is they double dip and they become like influencers. Because I'll be honest, I get stuck watching those TikToks of people like I don't know, cleaning a carpet or something like that.
And mowing grass. It's
mowing grass. And I'm like, you made money from me watching this, and you made money from just doing your actual job.
There's something
they've got
to
it figured out.
That's a fact.
The website that had the leprosy article, the tags on the article were leprosy, Orlando, and then Strange Florida. So I clicked Strange Florida. Oh, apparently, there's a monkey issue in Orange City.
That's what I'm talking about, guys. So we're regressing.
Somebody
we're
was
backwards.
At the Popeyes. Somebody was at the Popeyes, and there was a bunch of monkeys on the building terrorizing the customers no. as they were trying to go
Florida's
in and out
not
of the
real.
Popeyes.
I just refuse to believe it's
real. It's not a real place.
How did we get that?
It's not a real place.
It's AI was really generated. Not, it,
yes, it's a listen. Man,
there's leprosy and monkey attacks. Where do I live?
The things I've seen in Florida, I've never seen anywhere else.
Dimension.
I've never seen anything else. Like Florida is its own country. It's just different.
It is.
It's a portal to another dimension. Like if you want to go to another dimension, you go to Florida first.
Yeah.
That is true. All right. What do you have, Marty?
All right, guys. I got one. Originally, I was going to do the first one Jesse did, and then the second one I did was Derek, and now this is the final one. So thank you for giving us all the same articles. I appreciate that. I had to read it quick, Emily. Okay, so new research from the Pew Research found out that American Christians are among the most likely to attempt to communicate with dead relatives. All right, you hear what I'm saying?
Wow.
A report surveyed 5,000 people. They said of all different faith traditions, 53% say that they've been visited by a dead family member or some other form. I mean, I could see that. I've had people in dreams. I've had that before. I've had dead people in my dreams. So of like family members and stuff, and they'll tell me how disappointed they are in me. But I don't care. They're dead. But I think that this article is really interesting because it's kind of weird that Christianity is the biggest presence of people thinking that they're contacted by dead, and I could understand that for sure. 28% said that they visited them to tell them about their life. 15% said that the dead family member had communicated in a vague way. 34% said they felt the presence of somebody, and Christians are 67% of that. And as I'm reading aside, it says that Christians are the wildest people there are. So that's pretty much the article. Have you guys ever had a contact?
I had
a dream where my uncle was just so disappointed in my life, and he was like, "Dude, like,
yeah, but that's different. That's like, not what they're talking about.
I had someone dead disappointed in me. How worse can it get? Like, this is an uncle that did like heroin. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a tattoo of it. Like, it said right here, Chino, because he would like a little, and he was in the dream telling me like, what are you thinking of? Like, what are you doing? You're ruining your life. He's telling me that. So, I mean, I had a dream like that once, but I mean, I don't know if you guys ever had a dead person in your dreams or Sixth Sense action, a little Bruce Willis action.
The study was also saying, like, I think within the last 12 months or the last year. So, like, not just, like, at any point in your life did you have a dream where someone, but, like, within the last year.
12 months.
Yeah, it's like...
So Christians say, I believe that my dead relative was communicating to me or visited me, not just... Psychologically,
it's mostly
I'm dreaming.
Christians, 67% saying Christians saying crazy. It's that's what you know.
But do you think? I mean, just like you know, Christians still are the majority religion in the country, right? If there's the most Christians out of any religion, and the basis of religion is a belief in the supernatural, is that kind of just a natural outgrowth of like, well, if you're a self-declared Christian, then that means you have some belief in life after death. Now, even though there are prohibitions in Scripture of trying to communicate with the dead. You know, is it just, I guess my point is like, is it any sort of like indictment on modern Christians, or is it just like, hey, you know, there are correlative numbers that more have to do with a belief in the supernatural than they do with, you know, Christian doctrine?
I definitely think Christians are more open to the supernatural. We're always open to what God wants to do in the spirit realm. Like we always talk about spirit realm. But I will say also this, like, In my personal life, one of the reasons why I think like I would have a dream of like a family member was because of how deep the hurt was for me. So maybe that could be a connection. Like, you know, more than ever during the pandemic, we were all together a little bit more. So like, you know, before I only could see my family like once every 6 months. Now I'm seeing them every day on Instagram. So it's like this connection is deeper with family members. And maybe I'm thinking, you know, when someone passes away, that the hurt and the trauma might be so deep also that there's this element of you want to dream, you want to think of somebody because it's so hard to be, it's so hard now to lose somebody versus versus years ago when, you know, you just saw someone over time. Now it's like we're seeing everybody every day. It's like there's a bigger connection than there was in the past. I don't know.
It's interesting. That's
a good point. That's a good point.
I also just found an article about a couple in Florida who had a huge iguana crawl out of their toilet.
Crawl where?
Out of their toilet. Mm-mm. Like came up through the sewage and came out their toilet. There's a picture. I just put it in the chat of this big old iguana that came out.
It's not because.
Well, okay, wait. I will say one of my friends had a frog come out of her toilet once, and then she didn't use the toilet for a week because she was so scared. Wow.
Can I be honest? The thing that is surprising to me about this is that it made the news in general. It doesn't even seem that newsworthy. It seems like there's reptiles crawling out of toilets probably daily.
I just want to talk about how quickly we jumped from the subject of dead relatives to the iguana. I don't know how that happened. I'm sorry.
There was no segue.
Cam was like, "This is boring." Hey guys, an iguana had jumped. This is the I don't like this iguana. Yeah. Usually it happens during hurricanes, though. That's something that is real. Like during, because the piping.
Oh, because the pressure changes and they have to,
hurricanes, they gotta find a safe home.
Yeah, you never know. And they can breathe underwater, so
they go up. They're in the sewers and they climb up the pipes into your homes and come
out. One time I went to a Christian camp and there was a snake around the bowl of the toilet. And I remember I saw a black snake in the water.
Where was the camp?
It's probably I think it was actually in Tennessee. But I was doing a camp. It was an event, and there was a snake in the bowl. And I was like, "This is the first time I ever was aware of such a thing." I was like shocked that snakes could be. It was a little garden snake.
He caught the iguana with a trash bag.
Caught it.
How big was this iguana?
Put the trash bag over the toilet.
I put it in. You can click on it. It's decent size. Filled the bowl. It filled the bowl.
That's the thing. Real talk. All right, Derek, put yourself in this scenario. You're traveling, you're visiting Florida, you open the toilet lid to, and there's an iguana.
You go to Olive Garden, looking back at you.
You go to Olive Garden.
What is your move? Like, because I feel like I don't want to close, I'm going to close the lid, but iguanas seem pretty strong. I don't know what to do at that point. Do I sit on top of the lid and crap men? Derek, what's your move?
Well, here's the first question, but even beyond that, you still got to take a dump.
So imagine you're wrestling the iguana.
You know what I mean? Like, you still got a situation going on.
It's a bad situation.
That's a bad situation.
They call that a top floor when you go to the bathroom on the very top of it. When you take
upper decker.
Upper decker. That's upper, decker. Upper decker. That's it. They do that.
Yeah. My first step is to run out of the bathroom, shut the door and lock it, and put a towel under the door.
But when are you going back in to battle that iguana?
You call the authorities, man.
I'm calling a white burly man to come get this thing out of my room, because white people are the ones that deal with nature a lot.
That's a fact.
Hey man, I had
white burly dude with neighbor, a big beard.
You know,
and they make good money. Doing
yeah,
that.
My next door neighbor caught a snake, like a python.
They didn't go to college.
Yeah. My next door neighbor in Florida caught a python, like a dead snake, because we have a forest back in my parents' house. He caught a python, and guess what he did? You know, he didn't turn it into the authorities. He kept it. He literally kept it. He made it not aquarium, but it's like a terrarium. I don't know what they call it. Terrarium, whatever.
Terrarium.
And he put a python in it. Like he now it's his friend. He gave it a name. You know, he dresses it up on Halloween with hats. Like this guy totally just God's will. You know, when God said to show dominion over animals, he did that. And that's what happened.
Can I
put little hats on it?
I need you guys' take on something. I recently had some people down in my crawl space under my home because of the aforementioned plumbing issues.
Wait a second.
One of the guys goes under there. He goes under there, and I hear a loud noise, and I'm like, what on earth was that? I hope everything's okay. And he came out a little while later. He's in the jumpsuit thing, and I'm like, hey, what was that sound? He's like, oh, I threw firecrackers under the house. I'm like, why did you throw firecrackers? He's like, well, in case there's a big animal down there, it'll scare them out.
Oh.
And I'm like, do they teach that in
that's wisdom.
In your training?
That's a family trade secret.
And that's he's wisdom. Like, no, man, I came up with that all on my own.
He's like, I didn't tell
and
anybody
I,
before I threw
really
the firework
know how to
also.
Feel about that.
Jesse, you're like working.
Because I've been
doing this because you don't know about fireworks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
An M90 is going to blow up under your house.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there could be a gas leak under there, my dude. But either way, I've gone in the crawl space before, and it's terror. It is sheer terror.
For sure.
Like, you feel like if I get attacked, I'm on their turf, right? I got nowhere to go. I'm crawling around down here. I can see his logic with fireworks, but should I be concerned that was the guy's method?
Yeah, that's a little concerning.
He went rogue.
Did he think air horn? Why didn't he think of air horn?
I need to know how many times he's done this, or was he just, he was like,
it
this
sounded
guy seems
like he
like
does it.
I was wondering if he was testing
like
it out.
It sounded like this is standard practice.
He has a rollover on the fireworks.
Yeah, I threw firecrackers.
He has fireworks from like July 4th. He's like, I still got these. Tax write-off. Throw in a part of my business. Whatever. You know, smart guy. Maybe he's smart.
Well, it's like, you know, every rule was made because something happened that now we need to make a rule. Why did he start using the firecrackers? Like, what happened right before the firecracker solution?
I want to know, did he use something else before he used the fire? Like, how did he try out a few different things?
Well, did he just scream under people's homes? Like, did he just like go over and go? Like, is that why he moved to firecrackers? Because he was just screaming under homes?
There's other
What precluded the firecrackers?
Right.
Either way,
I want to know the origin story.
I don't know what's less terrifying for a homeowner: to hear someone under your home screaming, or to hear an explosion under the house. Like, dude, there's got to be a better. Can you get a whistle or something? Like, wouldn't that do the trick?
So having said that, 67% of Christians, they speak for the dead. All right, next article.
There you go. All right, that'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned up next. Sarah Jakes Roberts joins us. You're listening to Poolside and Ben Browning. The song is Ride With You. She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun by Sister Monica Claire is available now wherever books are sold. Well, our guest today is Sarah Jakes Roberts. She's an author and speaker and the leader of the upcoming Woman Evolve Conference. She sat down with Emily to share an encouraging message for young women and young leaders who are navigating the world today. Here's our conversation with Sarah Jakes Roberts.
What are some of the maybe big issues women are facing today that you're hoping to address and speak on during the conference?
I think that women have intentionally shifted power dynamics between genders. I think we're seeing this in spaces of faith. We're seeing it in the entertainment industry. We see it in corporations where women have not just demanded a seat at the table. In many cases, they have push some toxic people away from the table in order to make sure that the table had healthy, organic ideas and food that can service everyone. And so I think that as we see the emergence of the woman, that there's also a necessary conversation that we have to have about what does this mean about our relationship dynamics with men? What does this mean about our need to also cultivate rest and nurturing so that we aren't so focused on domination that we miss out on the opportunity for restoration. And so I've tried to be intentional with continuing to add fuel to that woman's tank, to add structure to her vision, to add creativity to the strategies that she needs in order to continue to become all of who God has called her to be, but also challenge her to lean into vulnerability, into transparency, into authenticity, because you can have it all without pretending that you have it all together. I have found that in me admitting that I'm still a work in progress, that I'm still learning, I'm still groaning, and owning that as a power, not a flaw, has been really impactful for me. And it's something that I hope that other women are able to experience as well.
What advice do you have for someone who kind of feels like they don't have space for rest in their life?
if you don't have space for rest in your life, you're probably right. you're probably right. I think it's important that we really acknowledge that the way that some of our lives are set up, like, we don't have space for rest because we're so busy saying yes to everything. We're so busy pursuing. We're so busy stretching that we do not have the ability to incorporate rest. And so my next question is, how important is it to you that you have rest? Is it important enough for you to disappoint people? Is it important enough for you to say no? Is it important enough for you to unplug when so many people are used to leaning on you? Because when we see rest as a priority, not an option, we make some difficult choices and it shakes up our world. We don't get to be seen as someone who can be all things to all people anymore. We force our world to see us as human. When we say, hey, I need a break, I need a breath, and are you willing to give yourself permission to really lean into the rest that can help you go the long run instead of just being on this endless marathon?
Yeah, and it's so wonderful to hear that from you just because you do so many amazing things. You are a ministry leader, you're a businesswoman, you're a wife, a mother, like you do all these things. And I'm sure that can be overwhelming and stressful at times. And so I'm just curious, like, what are some practical things you do to make sure that you find peace and balance in your life?
I have started asking for help. I think sometimes we're afraid to ask for help in areas that we have mastered, right? So like when it comes to school runs, like, I'm running it over here. I got these kids, like, get up, get the breakfast. We're out the door by 7:30. And so it's difficult to say, hey, I need a break from this when everything is functioning. But the reality is that if I slept in for a few mornings, like, that would help me with the remainder of the responsibilities of my week. And so I've learned to understand when I need rest, to ask for help from my partner, from friends who are like, hey, if you need something, let me know, and opening my mouth and actually utilizing that. I hate to say this, Emily, because I don't want people thinking that, like, I really, like, mean this, like, the way that it's going to sound, but, like, I work out at 5:00 in the morning. Now, that might sound like I am just, like, so on top of my game and powerful, and it's not true. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's just how I have found a way to do something that I enjoy. I box in the mornings. It's fun for me, and the only way that I can do it consistently is if I do it at 5:00 in the morning, and though I love the bed, like, I love that Jesus died on the cross so I could get in bed. Like, to me, that's love. But also, you know, I realize what's important to me. And when I make that sacrifice, I feel better about myself. So finding things that bring me joy and not just responsibility has been restful, too, because rest is not always sleep. Sometimes it's just really intentionally tapping into joy.
I do not get up at 5 a.m. to box, although on one hand, it does sound nice, but I do like my bed too. Maybe I'll try it though. See if it works out.
I do. It's rough. It's rough. It's rough. But once I get up, I like it. I do. And then I also walk around feeling like, did you look at me crazy? Because I will one and two you right now in a way that will change your life.
I love that. Yeah. I feel like you got to have a little confidence of like, yeah, I box at 5 a.m. Like, don't mess with me. I would feel a type of way if I was that person. So I support it. Okay, going back to Women Evolve, I did want to ask about this because one of the things I really love about it is how intergenerational it is. I love that, just like seeing people of all different backgrounds coming together, age, culture, different things like that. And so I just love to hear from you, like, why is it important for women of all different walks of life to come together for this?
Well, we need intergenerational healing. I think we spend a lot of time talking about millennials this, Gen Z that, baby boomers this. And we're so busy talking about ways that the other generation can do better that we're not talking about how we can integrate in a way that takes the ball further. And I did not set out for Woman Evolve to be intergenerational, but when I started hearing from women who were 60 years old, 70 year olds in their 50s and 40s telling me, hey, what you said up there, it inspired me, it encouraged me, it made me feel less alone as well. Then I wondered if we have a gift that we can offer one another throughout the generations. And so I love when I see, like, there's a woman there and she's brought her mother and she's got her daughter coming and her grandmother went to Woman Thou Art Loose and now she's bringing her grandmother to Woman Evolve. I think it speaks to the generational grace that can survive in our families when we tend to those more than we tend to the generational curses that separate us. And so generational healing is so important. I'm kind of a gentle parent, I guess. But my dad calls it soft parenting, which tells you everything you need to know about his stance on gentle parenting. But I have seen him lean into, like, how did that make you feel? And I'm sorry if what I said came across harshly, because I think that there is something to be said about each one teaching one and how we can become better and have more rewarding relationships when we really choose to hear one another.
I love that your dad is softly learning from you. That's so funny.
The thing is that, like, if we tear down the very shoulders that we're standing on, we're going to always be starting from ground zero. And I think it's okay for us to say, like, hey, you know, for this next few decades, like, maybe we are going to lean into vulnerability. Maybe we aren't going to just sweep things under the rug, but we are going to take your faithfulness. We are going to take your work ethic, because I don't want to keep starting from ground zero. And I hope my children look at my life and they say, hey, she could have done a lot of things differently. She could have done a few things better, but what she did do well, I want to keep in the earth.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective to have, because I say this as a younger person myself, but I feel like a lot of my friends, there is this mentality of, well, all these things that are wrong, we need to get rid of them. But it's like, we don't need to, there's a balance there. We can't get rid of everything. We need to sort of strip away the rough parts, the bad parts. And so I would just love to know, like, do you have any advice or encouragement for, like, younger believers who are wanting to change things in the church?
Oof, child, first of all, child, I understand why you would want to change some things. It's been rough, depending on what corner of the church you're in. Yeah. It's been rough. There's been a lot of abuse. There's been disappointment. There's been a lot of alienation. Then there's been swinging the pendulum in the other direction, and it's been way too free, way too much. I would say to someone who's looking to change things in the church to, one, really be intentional about cultivating your own relationship with God. You know, Emily, when I was growing up in church, like, if you couldn't shout, you couldn't sing, you couldn't preach, and you weren't a prayer warrior, like, you were going to hell. And I was one of them. I had on gasoline drawers, according to everyone who knew me. And I was like, all right, here I go, buckle up. And then I was like, I might as well have fun on the way down there. But I had an encounter with God that just, no matter how alienated I felt, I just felt like God was real. Like, I didn't speak in the church phrases, and maybe I didn't come across like one of the good girls. And then I made these choices that seemed so anti-ethical to what they said we were supposed to be. But there was just something in me that's like, I think that what I'm experiencing is God. Like, I think he's still talking to me and connecting to me. And that meant so much to me. And yet I still strayed away from church. Even when I started speaking, I was like, I'm just speaking. I'm not a preacher, because I didn't want anyone to think I was coming in to contaminate their building. And what I learned was to find value in the church as it has been. I think it's very similar to what we're talking about with the generations, to recognize that this place, as flawed as it may be, was the place where someone came and felt encouraged. It's a place where someone came and felt loved. Even if it wasn't me, someone did feel this, and to become curious about how that happened so that I can find honor connected to this building. Because you cannot change what you don't honor, not effectively, not in a lasting way. You have to be able to honor it, or the people who make the decisions won't trust you because you don't respect what they built. And so I found a way to honor it, genuinely honor it, not just, you know, pulling something out of the sky. And from that place of honor, I found opportunities to influence and innovate in a way that would make sure there were no more little me's who felt left behind in a pew full of people. And so I say honor, innovation, and to really make sure that you're connected with leadership that can be fluid enough to want to see a next generation reached with a new method, but the same message.
You know, I am curious, where do you see the future of the church heading in the next few years?
I know there's so many stats that suggest that people are turning away from faith, that they are deconstructing their religion and finding something that feels more authentic and organic to them. I think that in the process of that necessary deconstruction, because I think at the end of the day, a lot of church people fear that as someone is deconstructing their faith, that they're going to somehow lose hold of Jesus. And I think that that is us living with fear. If Jesus is who we really believe that he is, even when they deconstruct their faith at the base of it, they should be able to find Jesus in this. And if they can't find Jesus in it, then it needed to be deconstructed so that they had opportunity to really connect with Jesus. And I think that as this deconstruction is taking place, I think that as we are being less married to our tradition, that the future of the church will be a place where we are not regulating people's lives or personalities, but rather leading them to the Holy Spirit who can guide them in all things. I think that the future of the church is a place where everyone should be able to come and will be able to come, and that pastors, even when I see the mental health movement, are no longer having to be the therapist, the judge, the jury, the lawyer, and all of these things. All we have to do is preach Jesus. And from that place, I think the church is going to grow because they're going to get more of Jesus and less of us.
That was Sarah Jakes Roberts. Make sure to check out her upcoming conference, Woman Evolve. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's Epic Battle. How could I be thirsty when I'm sipping from your fountain? Praying for my boy, what day this comes around in? And if you didn't do a thing, I'd still be here at your feet. Cause your love is all I need. So I just wanna say thank you. You're listening to Forrest Frank. The song is Thank You.
What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away? Or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play? Or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
Okay, it's time for
Epic Battle.
Epic Battle. All right, so it's the beginning of the college football season this week, and you know, we always do some sort of college mascot game. Instead of doing the same thing we've done the last few years, we thought we would do an epic battle and determine the best mascots. Now, you know, Marty, what we're doing with Epic Battle is people argue on the internet all the time. I like DC, I like Marvel, or, you know, this is better than that. Mm-hmm. We are going to settle it once and for all. That's what we're doing. And so what I'm going to do is we're going to do two teams. We're going to do Marty and Emily, and we're going to do Derek and Jesse. Be thinking of your team names. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a mascot, a college mascot, and a scenario. And then you guys will go back and forth to figure out who wins in this scenario. Okay. So, Emily and Marty, what's your team name?
Emily? What are
you? No, Marty, you got it. I see it in your eyes.
All right.
Eyes.
We're called the Volts. The Volts.
The Volt? The Volts?
Yeah, because I'm looking at a Volt Apollo right now, and that's what our name is. We're the Volt. We're the Volts. It sounds like a real name. It sounds like something. Volts.
Sounds like a winning team. Yeah.
The anti-heroes, the Swifties. We can go over that if you want, Emily. I mean, geez Louise. We can go whatever you want. Emily, we can do the Swifties.
Okay. All right, Jesse and Derek, what's your team name?
Derek, I was thinking either, toilet bowl iguanas or crawl space firecrackers. Your call. Your call.
It's a win-win. Ooh, thank you, God, for... Yeah, we're going to go with toilet bowl iguanas.
All right, toilet bowl iguanas. All right. All right, so the Volt, you have Otto the Orange, the mascot from Syracuse University. Toilet bowl iguanas, you guys have the Demon Deacon from Wake Forest University. Who would win in a dance competition between Otto the Orange and the Demon Deacon? Now, I'm not talking about an actual Demon Deacon. I'm talking about the actual mascot that runs around. That's what we're talking about. Okay. All right. So, the Volts, you're up first. Tell us why Otto the Orange would win in a dance competition.
I already know why. Deacon. He has a lot more movability in that costume. That's number one. Is that? Can we say that? Because he's got his arms and legs free, right? Like, he's got good movability. Also, I mean, I've seen him run downstairs and stuff like that. So I've seen him do backflips. Like, he's got the, got it. Like, he can move around. He's limber enough. Some of those costumes are a little tight, like you're with like a dinosaur, you're doing this, I was watching this thing the other day where this one of the Mets managers was fighting a mascot and the mascot couldn't swing at him. So it was a whole thing. But this guy, Otto, he could do a swing. He can move around. He's got some.
All right. Toilet bowl iguanas. Why would the Demon Deacon win in a dance contest?
Well, I just did a quick Google image search of the Demon Deacon, and there are several images of him riding like a Harley Davidson motorcycle indoors and on a football field. So we know the man's limber. The other thing, too, is that evidently they have a statue of this guy, a large statue outside the stadium. He's got a top hat and cane. If someone's got a top hat and cane, they got moves. No one wears a top hat and cane if you don't get the moves to back it up. That is swag factor. You have to be the most confident person alive to walk out with a coat with tails, a top hat, and a cane. You're going to have dance moves. Derek, am I wrong here?
No, you're 100% right. I agree. 100%.
All right, Volts, do you have any final rebuttal?
Sorry, go, Emily, because I was just going to make fun of the Demon Deacon, so you probably have way better stuff than I'm going to say.
We can get to that in a second. I do want to point out, the orange is circular, so he can do like some good spin moves, and I easily think that the legs that are sticking out of the orange could sideswipe the cane of the Demon Deacon,
kick.
Knock them on their back. They're so embarrassed, they can't even get up. They have to crawl away in shame. Like, I see that.
Interesting.
I see that perfectly in my mind. Marty, please make fun of the Demon Deacon.
The orange is spinning. The orange is spinning, and the legs are taking out his competition. I got it. Okay, I see the visual.
Yeah, let's just be honest about it. It just looks like an old president. Mm-hmm. That's what the mascot looks like. It's just an old president. He's got a top hat. He's got a gold suit. I don't know where he was going. Is he setting me up to my seat? I don't know. But he's got this weird chin. I don't know. Something about him is kind of scary. I don't know. He is a demon. He is Demon Deacon.
Listen, you remember what was the movie? Was it Grease? Where all of they were dancing, but they couldn't dance because they were supposed to be going to hell if they danced. Like,
oh, Footloose.
Was telling them Footloose, right? Footloose.
Same thing.
Preacher was telling them they're gonna go to hell, right? Yeah, whatever. Footloose, right? Well, this is literally a Demon Deacon.
I don't like that. He's going straight to hell.
Demon Deacon.
Bagging and tagging.
He's old because he's been dancing in hell for so long. Right, so I'm like, for me, I'm like,
perfect. Well, you know what, Otto over here is lovable. He's orange. He's a color. He's like orange. Like, who doesn't love a nice orange? I mean, come on, give me. It's citrus. It's beautiful. It smells good.
What's that have to do with dancing?
It just has everything to do with everything. If you want to get technical, Cameron, I mean, it has everything to do with everything.
When you eat when you eat an orange, you're so happy, and you dance because you're so happy.
I can't count the number of times I've been out at a dance club and people are just mowing down oranges.
Do you know anybody who rides a motorcycle like that, the big Harleys, who knows how to dance? Those people don't dance. They usually are chilling in the back. They're listening to, Sweet Caroline, it's a whole thing with those type of people.
They did in Footloose.
Yeah.
They did in Footloose.
I know, but that was Kevin Bacon. That's like the 80s. It was different. You know, things were just, people were still figuring things out.
Well, he's old because he's from the 80s.
Yeah, but you ever seen Sons of Anarchy? Those guys dancing? Those Sons of Anarchy, Sons of Guns, those guys.
Yeah, they're also not wearing Abe Lincoln style stovetop hats. Okay, this is a unique breed of person here. He's got swag.
All right, I think the argument of the spinny legs taking out the demon deacon, I think the Volts get it. Otto the Orange would win. Super quick, last You're one. Kidding. Here we go. The Volts, you have the tree from Stanford University. Oh, Toilet Bowl Iguanas, you have Eli the Golden Eagle from Oral Roberts University. Who would win in a hot dog eating contest? Toilet Bowl Iguanas, you're up first.
Go ahead.
Tell us
Jesse.
Why Eli the Golden Eagle.
Jesse, do your thing, Jesse.
Because the fact that I think I'm looking at Emily and Marty right now, and they have the look like they're going to win.
For sure.
It's, you know, would you guys concede that real quick? That you think you're going to win?
I know we're going to win.
Oh, that I think is going to win. Sure. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, guess what? You just dug your own grave, because when you count ORU down, they come back and win. They just went to the College World Series. They're one of the number one basketball programs in the country, and everyone bet against them. Well, guess what? They proved them wrong. I tricked you. You walked right into it. It's a trap. We just end the game right now.
I know. But you have to understand that our mascot is like 50% mouth. That's like his trick. He's all mouth. So why is he not going to win? He's all like 50% of his body is mouth.
To doubt ORU.
50% of his body is mouth. He's like that one actor with that big mouth of his. Just kidding.
That one actor. Yeah, that guy. Toilet Bowl Iguanas, what's your rebuttal to the mouth argument?
Once again, that only makes Eli a further underdog. It gives people more reason to doubt him, and that's what ORU does. If history teaches us anything, Derek, you got anything else?
The question is not about how many.
He's a representative.
How many can you eat at one time? It's how many can you? Who's going to eat the most? Now, when you look at the ORU mascot, he's ripped. That means he needs a lot of protein because he's been working out.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, I mean, look, hot dogs are high in protein. He just got done working out. He's been counted out. He's got the eye of the tiger. He's gonna win.
If you want to get technical,
the eagle eye. He's got an eagle eye.
Okay. One more rebuttal.
There's a conflict of interest. Eagles eat iguanas.
Listen, that tree represents Stanford University. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think
we're the fighting trees, buddy? We're the fighting trees, Jesse.
You think they're serving hot dogs in the cafeteria?
You're
going
to offend a whole generation of Gen Z's.
Bougie Stanford students are mowing down hot dogs? No. Hot dogs are food of the people. When I was at ORU, it's come a long way since then, so I'm not bashing it now. But
here's the thing. And last time I checked, trees get their food from photosynthesis.
Yeah, but you know what? You guys,
I don't even think they could eat a hot dog.
Eagles are eating worms and puppies sometimes.
You have a ripped eagle and you have a tree that gets its food from photosynthesis and light. I think I'm going to go with the eagle. Because have you ever seen an eagle in real life?
It's patriotic. I know.
Predators.
You guys are not even using
them. Predators.
You guys are not
They're
even
predators.
Using the excuses that me and Emily would use if we had the eagles. Patriotism.
Don't give it to them.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. What are we doing there?
just off the muscle. I've never seen a tree eat meat. If you could show me a tree
that
eats
meat.
You're today, man.
Okay. Today. Put me on.
All right.
You mentioned that Eli the Eagle is like this super ripped eagle. That means he probably watches what he eats. He puts one hot dog in his mouth, his body will reject it.
It's not going to agree.
You can't get ripped. You don't get ripped eating hot dogs.
Listen, I've worn the costume of Eli the Golden Eagle.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my.
This late in the game, Jesse, it kind of feels like you're just trying to, you know, this is a Hail Mary.
I was Eli for one night. This feels like Eli for one.
Can I get a fact check?
Can we get some pictures over here?
The guy who was the Eli couldn't make it one night. I lucked into it for one night, one event at the Mabee Center. I wore the costume. Trust me, you know the guy under that suit. He liked hot dogs. Okay,
it smelled like hot dogs. It just smelled like hot dogs.
It reeked of hot dogs in there.
All right. Well, the argument that the tree is half mouth was very compelling, but ORU never loses. Eli the Golden Eagle takes it. Okay. So, Toilet Bowl Iguanas, you guys got the point. All right. That'll do it for the college mascot edition of
Epic Battle.
Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Sarah Jakes Roberts for joining us today. Make sure to check out the Woman Evolve Conference. It's coming up. You don't want to miss that. Also, it's the last few weeks of our summer issue of Relevant. Make sure to catch it before it goes away. We have a great cover story with Lauren Daigle. We talked to Christine Kane, Judah and Chelsea Smith, artists like Arizona and Naomi Rain and others. You can read it for free. Just click the magazine tab at relevantmagazine.com. Also, make sure to check out Relevant Plus. It is the best way to experience our content ad-free and unlimited. All the information is at the website, and plans start as low as $250 a month. You get an ad-free version of this podcast, ad-free version of the magazine, a beautifully enhanced version of the magazine, and ad-free unlimited reading at relevantmagazine.com as well. I think you'll like it, and we'd love the support. Also, make sure to follow us on all the socials so you don't miss a thing, where we're covering the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between every day. We're posting continuously on X and Threads and Facebook and, you know, from time to time on Instagram and TikTok. But yeah, follow us. We're either Relevant or Relevant Magazine on all the socials. All right. On that note, we'll wrap it. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Marty.
We will see you on Friday. Have a great week, everyone.
For listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
They don't have hands. They have flippers. And he got it in his nose somehow.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Another app for inventory. One for CRM. Oh, don't forget accounting. Wait, which login was that?
Or you could use Odoo. One fully integrated system that does it all without the hassle. Ditch the app overload. Get everything your business needs on one platform. Try Odoo free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.